You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Clay Eaters is the latest poetry collection by Gregory Kahn, out now via Te Herenga Waka University Press. Also, those collections came out on the same day, yesterday, March 13th. Clay Eaters traverses a network of fault lines diverging and converging at unexpected angles. A mysterious jungle island, military reconnaissance, reconnaissance training, the spirits in the trees and abandoned temples, old family homes, the echoes around across rooms, the dining table set for the archetypal feast. The author asks what it means to write the self and what it is the living must carry. Greg's first collection of poetry, This Paper Boat, was shortlisted for the Ockham New Zealand Book Awards for Poetry in 2017, and Under Glass, his second collection, was longlisted for the award in 2020. I caught up with Greg about Clay Eaters and the fragmentary nature of this collection. He also performed a couple of poems.
What is your writing process like?
Generally, the first stage is just me journaling. It's usually pretty raw. It's not edited. I don't think, is this writing good? I'm just writing. And usually it's pages and pages and pages. And it happens over a long period of time. So for this book, this is writing that I gathered over the last, probably since COVID or something. So a good, handful of years. And then usually what happens is that I'll reach some particular difficult point in life, whatever that may be, and then I'll be compelled to, go through all of that raw stuff, take it, synthesize it, try to sculpt it down, try to see what's emerging from all of that, like what the patterns are.
Yeah.
And then I just try to tease them out kind of more and more, and then I just start chopping it all up and rearranging it until it starts to work. And usually I also add in a couple of tracks of research. Usually some of the things that emerge will lead me to go and look, like go down some rabbit holes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, folding more and more stuff into it until it's like a fairly mature draft, and then it's just going over it all over again and again and again, and just seeing that everything is working together and harmonious.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Like a very high level account of it.
Yeah. Clay Eaters is composed of fragments, I noticed. There are poems, excerpts, and other aspects as well. Did you always intend for this fragmentation when you were working on this collection in all its forms?
Yeah, so I think on the one hand, I like the idea of it feeling a bit like a scrapbook.
Right, yeah.
Because I like the feeling that a scrapbook kind of evokes, where it's not, it's not super polished. Obviously, this book is very polished, but
yeah.
In terms of the vibe that I'm trying to capture with the fragmentation and the form, I like the messiness of it. That's maybe one way of looking at it. And then from the other point of view, yeah, fragments have always been important to my writing, because I don't think you can ever really completely write about anything, if that makes sense. You're always going to miss something out, or you're always going to want to omit certain things. And so I've always liked playing with that tension of like what's there and what's missing. What am I showing and what am I hiding?
Right.
And I think from the point of view of the reader, why I like it is that it kind of forces the reader to try to bridge everything themselves. If that makes sense? Try to connect the dots themselves.
Yeah.
And I generally find that to be effective for readers, because that means that they're just a lot more engaged rather than just kind of sitting there and being spoon-fed like a very complete kind of narrative.
Yeah, right.
And I think one of my hopes is that it actually produces a much more haunting effect, that it actually stays with people for longer because they've seen parts of themselves in the gaps between the fragments and in the fragments themselves. So almost like a Rorschach blot. That's another analogy I like to use.
Yeah.
I think fragments kind of can produce that effect. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. What I love about fragments as well, and sort of fragmented writing maybe, or like writing that includes fragments, is that it sort of lends itself to memory and to the nature of memory, which I think your collection is quite, you know, explores quite a bit. You know, because when you're in a memory or you're, you know, remembering something, you're not sort of like, you know, you're not winding back like chronologically. It's not like a special system, you know, you just kind of like dip into this memory. And, you know, somehow you're just there. It's like a dream almost. And I think that's what is so effective about fragments in writing.
Yes.
And in your collection as well, I found that really, you know, just those kind of snapshots really serve to evoke that effect.
Yes, totally. Yeah, I think for me, yeah, memory is very important, you know, the idea that writing serves as a way for us to dive in, collect, document some of that. But also, like you say, memory being very gauzy, very blurry, very noisy and lossy.
Yeah.
I kind of try to play with those aspects. And of course, you know, it's also just feeling natural effect of actually going through your memory, right? And noticing that there are bits that are missing, that, like you say, it's not like a perfect reconstruction or representation of things that have actually happened.
Mm.
It's actually like a reconstruction.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I definitely like playing in that as well. I think the other way of looking at the quote-unquote scrapbook feel of the book is that, and this is a bit more aspirational, you know, I'm not going to say that, like, I actually succeed in these things, but, like, the hope is that it resembles a bit of, like, a mind at work. Like, it's a snapshot of a mind that's trying to process or digest something, and it's, like, in the middle of it.
Yeah, right.
As opposed to it being, like, this, like, very nice end product. You know,
yes,
that's super refined in a way, or very complete seeming.
Yes.
There's no pretension towards completeness, right? It's just like I'm given what I'm being given by my memory. I'm not going to try and like make it up to make it seem more complete.
And in that way, it feels quite sort of organic and natural. You know, like you're right inside the mind or your mind.
Satellite view of the island. The jungle canopy, a green so dark it's almost black. It looks like a giant black square in the sea. The giant black square is a photo of us, attired strangely, walking on a soft dirt road at night. We look like we have walked a very long way. We look like we don't know where we have come from at all.
Can you speak to the title, Clay Eaters?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think originally I wanted to call it Gilgamesh after my dead cat, my beloved dead cat.
Yeah.
But I realized that it wasn't drawing attention to the right things. Some of the early feedback that I got was that people were expecting some kind of like mythological, you know, interrogation of the myth and then folding out to the cat. And I'm like, no, it's not really about that.
Yeah.
So Clay Eaters, I think, I don't know if I can answer your question directly, but I'll put it this way. I always like the idea of something that's hard to digest, something that leaves residue behind no matter what you do. One of the main entities in the book is this, you know, mysterious jungle island. And that island, the earth was like a very rich clay earth. And so that was a very vivid memory for me, this like red clay.
Yes.
And lastly, I think I've had this very vivid dream that I don't necessarily know recurs, but it's of me being submerged underwater in some like pond or lake. And I drift to the bottom and I start eating the dirt at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And it kind of shows up in one of the poems as well, but
yeah, I remember that
was
one.
The other image that came to mind, and I think it, you know, if I had to try to pin it down, it goes back to memory.
Yeah.
And it goes back to trying to process the past and the difficulty of, you know, trying to eat something that you can't actually digest.
Yeah. Right. Well, is there anything you'd like to add, Greg?
You know, I can say lots and lots about the book, but of course, like I said earlier, that's very different from someone actually reading it. So I think maybe one thing I'll add is that I want to qualify that none of what I've said is like what people are quote unquote meant to get from it. It's kind of just more how it felt, you know, in terms of the process and some of the things that I was hoping to achieve. But at the end of the day, you know, people are going to get what they get out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
story will not be still, trying to touch the bottom of the deep lake and return to the surface, clutching God knows what, blinking in the sudden light, lucky to be alive.
That was poet Gregory Kahn speaking to me about his latest poetry collection, Clay Eaters, out now via Auckland University Press. Greg and Amy will be co-launching their collections at Unity Books Wellington on the 20th of March, 6 p.m. I'd like to clarify that Over Underfed and Clay Eaters are both published by Auckland University Press as opposed to Te Heringa Waka University Press. Apologies for the mistake. we have two copies of Clay Eaters to give away. Text in your name and your B card number to be in to win a copy.
What's it all for?
Various artists.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.